This is Neil Gentry reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now, 18 hours of continuous preaching continues with Roy Beard. Another timely message from Roy Beard. Now here's Roy.
Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries, and this time together it's our purpose to help you understand God's covenants, help you understand your position and place and privilege and authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to help you become a more powerful witness for His kingdom and enhanced in your ability to pray and more knowledgeable in the things of Almighty God. So I'm Roy Beard, the founder and president of Covenant Life Ministries. Thank you for joining us. It's fantastic to have you with us again today. Last week I started talking about the vehicle, the part of covenant that puts it into action, and that's the blessing. I read to you from Psalms 129 and talked about invoking the name of God on a person and how that the name is a full revelation of the character. And so when we talk about invoking the name of God, we're talking about the full election or the full revelation of the character of God. And we also talked about the fact that the blessing was always a spoken word. It's a word that given. When the words came out, that was something of substance. It wasn't just a greeting. It was something of substance. And when a person says, "I bless you," in the biblical sense, something happens. The energy of God begins to go out, but go forth. The word blessing, the word do and the word work that we see in Ephesians 2, 12 and 13 is energia. It's the very energy of God. It's the stimulation of God Himself. It's God who energizes within you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And it's the energy of God. So God didn't just speak the gospel to us. No, it's a good word that came with the power of God. And God, in His energy, His strength, His Holy Spirit, is going to carry it to the fulfillment. That's the blessing. See, once God has started the work, once the blessing has been given to you, you can't stop it. Only God can stop it. He gave it. Man is the channel, the vehicle, the receptacle. But God is the only one that can stop it. You remember in the Bible the story of Balaam? That's a fantastic story. It's a fascinating story in itself. And it's worthy of a complete study. But that's another study. But it's all about what I'm talking about. It fits into what we're saying. Balaam was one of the top witch doctors on the Euphrates River. And he dabbled in a little bit of everything. He goes from the top of a high hill and attempted to curse Israel. But when he opened his mouth, blessing came out. And he repeated all the blessings that had been given to Israel up to that moment in time. And he turned to the king that hired him, had hired him to curse Israel and said, "God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? When he's blessed, I can't revoke it." No, top witch doctor in the area can't revoke it. The devil can't revoke it. Man can't revoke it. It's God's. They did this when they greeted each other on the street. They blessed each other. That's why I started last week with Psalms 129, because they said that the worst thing that could happen to a person was that no one would be there to say to them, "The Lord bless you." Remember in Numbers 6 and verse 22, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron his son, saying, Thus shall you bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So shall they invoke My name," or put My name, or link My name on the sons of Israel, "and I will bless them." It was never, ever an empty greeting. They understood that they were blessed. And you and I need to understand we're blessed by God's covenant, God's declaration. He has ordered the priest. He has ordered the people. He has ordered each one of us to bless each other daily. So we can pass that on. What we've received, we can give. What you've received, you can give. You can't give what you haven't received. And I want to look at number 6 just a little bit closer. In the blessing, there are 3 statements, and each statement is a springboard or a catalyst to the next statement. And it leads to the next one in terms of emphasis. If I just said, Yahweh bless you and keep you, that'd be enough. If I said, God bless you and keep you, what more do you need? But we build on that in the next and then on to the grand finale in the 3rd statement. But let's look at this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The word bless that we talked about before, that's the spoken word accompanied by the power, the energy, the strength, the Holy Spirit of God. It's a good word, the good word that was spoken by God and channeled or delivered through his people was usually a word or a sentence that gave a picture and they could see it. For example, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. That's a picture. But in our dull English language, we'd probably say it was peaceful. It's just peaceful. The Hebrew gives it more powerful than that. He makes me to lie down in lush green pastures. See, the blessing. Most of them are couched in pictures. The blessing was a word that was spoken. And usually, if not always, it was in pictures. And there was a picture that could be conjured up in the mind that would be brought to the mind. And it was the picture of the person being blessed. And it was their coming to their highest and their best, their greatest potential. God wills your highest and your best. God wants you to have his best and you to become your best. That's not just the army being the best you can be. That's God saying, I want you to be the best you can be. He wills. It's the will of God that you come to your fullest potential as a human being. He wills for you to have complete fulfillment. He wills for you to reach your highest pinnacle and possible place in life. So the blessing pictures that to the individual. God's highest and best is what I speak to you. Yahweh bless you. God bless you. And I see you, when I say that, living at your fullest potential in covenant. That's how I picture you, and so that's how it's going to be. 2 important words. This may get me in trouble. Prosperity and success. Those are 2 words that over the last couple of decades have caused an incredible stir in the church world. The blessing of prosperity and success never ever comes in terms of money. It begins on the inside. Originally, in God, in Christian understanding, it was prosperity and success in your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, and in your body, and then certainly in everything you touched, but in that order. Prosperity began with, I'm prosperous in my walk with God. I am a rich, wealthy man or woman in my walk with God. I'm successful in walking with God. I have a prosperous mind. My mind is wealthy. I'm successful in receiving divine enlightenment to understand truth. That's blessing. My emotions are prosperous. They're not poverty-stricken with anger, with rage, with bitterness, with malice, with jealousy, with envy. I'm a rich person because I'm filled with the love of God, the peace of God, and the joy of God. That's blessing. My body's blessed. My heart's very successful at being a heart. My lungs are successful at sucking in air and breathing. My entire body's prosperous in producing life. My body functions to the perfection that God created it to function. Then in that state, whatever I touch, prosperity and success result. Hear me, please. If you have a prosperity that's simply money, and that's not first in your spirit, if it didn't, prosperity didn't first come in your spirit, then it's a dangerous, dangerous thing that you've entered into. The Bible makes it incredibly clear. Proverbs 22, it said, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, but adds no sorrow with it." Prosperity that is money first becomes you can't serve two gods. You can't serve God and mammon. But let's take that a step further. The Lord bless you. That actually meant life. The word was fertility. I find that incredibly fascinating. In Deuteronomy, or Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I will give you your rains and your season," look at that, "so that your land will yield produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. Thus, you will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in the land. I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land, but you will chase your enemies, and they'll fall before your sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before your sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you. My soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect." Hallelujah! I mean, you've got to see that. Look at all of the areas of blessing. I mean, you're blessed in every way. There's going to be rain that will cause the land to prosper. The trees will produce their fruit. You're going to have peace from all of the devouring, harmful animals that are coming around, or the demons and demonic power. You'll have rest from your enemies. You'll be blessed in protection, blessed in terms of everything in your walk with God. You are going to be blessed if you walk in his covenant. In Deuteronomy 28, you've got both blessings and cursing. Curses connected to the covenant. The blessings were given on Mount Gerizim and the curses on Mount Ebal. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. They'll hunt you down if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be when you're in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be in your basket and kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in and blessed shall be when it go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings. He'll speak the blessings upon you and your barns and all that you put your hand to. He'll bless you in the land which your Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, a kingdom of priests, if you will, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see you are called by my name, and they'll be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, and the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open up his good storehouse, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you'll not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I commanded you today, to be to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now, I don't have time to read the curses to go along with that, but I want you to take time to go and look at Deuteronomy 28, because it says the blessings will overtake you. They're going to hunt you down. If you're walking in covenant, walking in obedience to God, the blessings will overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. Blessed in the offspring of your body. It's blessed, 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 blessed. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. It meant that all of your sheep would have lambs. All of your cows would have calves. All of your horses would have foals. All of your crops would come in. See, the law of harvest is whatever you sow, you're going to reap, so you can count on that. But whatever you plant, you get 100-fold. It was fertility. There is an energy working in your body and in the bodies of the animals and in the very earth that you walk on. There's an energy of fertility that would draw the clouds over your land and make it rain at the right time, in the right amount, at the right, for the right purpose. Now, all of that's important. According to covenant, there should be no drought or flood. That's the Noahic covenant. If you are the people of God, and we are if we're in Christ, it's yours. God's promised you life, life in everything you touch, beginning with life in our spirits. God said, I will walk in the midst of you. But I'm going to give you a warning. If you're just after material riches, if you're just after possessions, if you're just after things, then you got a problem. Because you're going to have leanness in your soul. You're going to set yourself up to fail. And that's the very place where Israel went wrong. And it's the very place where some of the church has gone wrong. It's the very place where people have gone wrong. They hear the tail end of it, money, 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 prosperity. And at that point, I'm going to warn you, all you have is Baal. He's the demon god who promised the same thing, fertility and money. Only he didn't demand all of the other stuff that God does, like walking with God, like loving your neighbor, like keeping the commandments, like manifesting the presence and the power and the spirit and the nature and the character of God, that coming out from among them and being holy, that walking in purity, that walking in ethics, that walking in with honesty, walking with integrity. Essentially, all of the promises of God that he gave in Deuteronomy 28 and everywhere else that he speaks of the covenant, those are inner riches, and they were expressed in the outer form. They started on the inside and worked their way out. Does that make sense? Wealth and riches are really spiritual. They have to begin on the inside. If you think that wealth is money that you hold in your hand or you have in your bank account or the possessions that you own, then I can point you to hundreds of humanistic, flesh-oriented people who are rich. But if you understand God's definition of riches, that it's an inward thing, many of the millionaires of the world become the poorest people in town. They've got money, but they don't have peace. They don't have a prosperity of soul. They don't have a peace with God that passes all understanding. Therefore, righteousness, a righteous man can never be poor. That's why David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, because you can't be poor if you're righteous. You may not have money, but you're rich, because he's poor, rich on the inside. He has no sense of lack. That was the thing about the Hebrews, is they lived with no sense of lack. We pray out of our desperation. We focus on our lack and what we don't have. They focused on what they did have. And they understood that the God, the living God, the God of all creation, meant that he had everything. And since he had everything and they belonged to him, if they walked in his covenant, they couldn't lack anything. The covenant man is rich in his spirit. He's rich in his emotions. He's rich in his soul. He's rich in his body, regardless of the amount of money that he has in his hand. But let me say this also. Poverty is also an inward thing. You can have money and still think poverty, have a poverty mentality. See, the blessing starts at the innermost part of who you are. It causes you to walk with God with a mind that's been transformed, that's filled with joy and peace, and in a sense of the greatness and the love of God that he has provided for us. It's at that point that wealth, natural money, prosperity in that sense, when it comes, it's just an outward expression of what's already on the inside. Because I know, as a child of God, that I will never, ever be in lack. Oh, I may have needs. I may come up against crisis and feel like that, oh, goodness, this is absolutely the worst possible situation I could be in. And I may even complain to God and say, oh, God, if you don't come through, I'm going under. No, the covenant person says, I can't go under, because God is my source. God is my strength. God is my energy. And the blessing starts on the inside. And when wealth is there, it's just an outward expression. I know I'm not going to be in lack. When the priest raised his hand and said, the Lord bless you and keep you, to them it meant it's done. It's done. I am blessed and I am kept by the Lord. He wills my highest and my best. And therefore, if I will follow him, if I will be obedient to him, if I will seek him, then he's going to bring me to my fullest potential as a human being today. Today, I'm going to be the best I can be today. I may not be as good as I'll be tomorrow, but I'm going to be the best I can be today. He's energizing me, and he's energizing everything I touch. And then it says, and the Lord keep you. Now, that's part of the blessing, but it's far, far more than just being kept. It's protection, it's energy, it's life. In Psalms 121, verses 1 through 4, the first four verses, read it all. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains or the hills. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forever. That's it. When I'm asleep, I'm kept. When I'm awake, I'm kept. When I'm working, I'm kept. When I'm sitting down and just doing nothing, I'm kept. I am kept. I am blessed. I'm kept. I sleep in blessing. I rise in blessing. And I nestle into the coverlets of blessing. I'm kept. Verse 5, I'll repeat it. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. He's standing right beside me, and he cast his shadow over me. He's standing there guarding me, guiding me, protecting me, looking over me. Then look at verse 6. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He'll keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forever. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The psalmist said, let me tell you what this means. You're kept in your innermost person. You're kept when you go out. You're kept when you come in. You're kept when you sleep, when you wake. No matter where you are a kept person. Hallelujah! You're kept. You are kept by God. What a beautiful, 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 wonderful place. Let me share an illustration with you, and I hope that it's meaningful. In Europe, in the castles, there is the inner part of the castle, and then there's the outer part of the castle where you enter in. And up around the top, there was a walkway. And in that walkway, around that entrance circle, about like most church buildings that where people are gathering. It's a fairly large area, but it was not huge and humongous at the same time. And they would position soldiers with armor, with archers, with air bows and arrows, and with all kinds of weapons of war. And if you came into that castle, in order to get to the inner part of that castle where the king was and the inhabitants were, you had to get through that place. You know what that place was called? The keeps. You're kept. God says, I am your keeps. I am the place that's guarding you. Before the enemy can get to you, the enemy has to go through me. He can't get to you without going through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He cannot get to you without going through me. What about Psalm 91? You remember Psalm 91, and when you think about what it means, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll seek refuge. His faithfulness and shield is a shield and a bulwark. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night, not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah. Because you made God your refuge, your dwelling place. He's given his angels charge over you. They guard you. They bear you up in their hands. They keep you lest you dash your foot against a stone. The lion and the cobra won't bother you. Because you love God, you've committed yourself to God. You name it. Name anything you want to. This man of blessing, of covenant, God has covered all the bases. All the bases. There's nothing on from earth. This didn't come from earth. The worst thing that man can do to us or can be vomited out of hell, the covenant man said, let it come. I walk in the middle of it. I'm protected. I'm kept. And Jesus quotes that to his disciples. It's the blessing. That was their mindset. You live in this. Every Israelite, when he began his day, it was those words attended to by the power of God that kept coming to him, and it kept him, and it blessed him in everything that he did. You and I are part of a better covenant established on better promises. That's the promise of God. And if they had so much of this under the Sinaitic covenant, think about what we have. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding and keeps and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, bless them. Bless them and help them to walk in covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you, be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.